You are listening to Comp My Pod. This podcast in no way reflects the views and opinions of any travel corporation or entity. This podcast is strictly the opinions of the commentators.
Hello, thank you for listening to Comp My Pod. My name is Derek. I'm joined by my co-host Sarah.
Hello.
We are going to join you this week to talk about some of our favorite tales from Reddit. Mine are from Tales from the Front Desk. I believe Sarah has some other fun tales from Pix.
Yeah, one of mine's from Tales from the Front Desk this week.
Yeah. The other one isn't, so stay tuned for that. And we are going to tell you what we happen to be drinking this week, and
we've already gotten off to a great start.
It is, it's Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday of the week.
It's
this
Wednesday.
This will probably be released on
Saturday.
I was going to say late Thursday, maybe Friday.
Yeah, right.
Sarah's throwing shade to our hardworking editor.
Yeah,
if
right.
If you're not aware.
Let's be real.
But anyway.
It'll be released next week.
So enjoy it when you get it, bitches. And in addition to what we are drinking, we are going to pick our picks of the week, what we happen to be enjoying this week, and, you know, what we happen to think you might enjoy as well. So, let's get the party started.
What are you drinking, Derek?
So, this week, thank you for asking, I am drinking a pretty special bourbon, actually. It is called Bellmead Bourbon. It's strange in the fact that it is actually made in Tennessee. Sorry. I'm newly married. I'm not used to wearing this damn ring all the time. I mean, this lovely ring all the time that tells everybody that I'm not available. It's great.
Oh my God.
But this bourbon is interesting in the fact that it's kind of like, you know, champagne isn't really called champagne out of the, you know, if it isn't produced in the Champagne region of France. It's really rare for like a bourbon to be called bourbon if it isn't produced in, you know, like northern Kentucky, that bourbon trail region.
Right.
This is way south of that, down in Tennessee. And in fact, it's closer to, you know, like the Jack Daniels, like Tennessee whiskey region than, you know, up in like bourbon country. So, I mean, it's minute, especially for our international listeners. It's like nothing compared to, you know, the kind of span that you folks deal with. But regardless, just on face value, it's a beautiful drink. It's very smooth. It's very, very nice. And it's a little hard to come by. You kind of have to seek it out if you're looking for it. Bellmead Bourbon, like I said, be sure to call ahead if you want to check it out. The good thing is, it's very reasonably priced. It's priced comparable to like a like Bullet Bourbon out of Kentucky, which is like a mid-range bourbon, or even depending on where you are, like a Woodford Reserve, which is like a somewhat higher range bourbon. But for, you know, the dollars per taste, let's say that, which might be a new metric I came up with. I don't know. it's quite nice. Just put it that way. It's very smooth. It's very clean. It's what you want out of like a very nice bourbon. It's nothing like Tennessee whiskey, like Jack Daniels at all.
So wait, where is it produced?
In Nashville, actually.
So like, is it in the plantation?
What plantation?
Bellmead.
Oh, I don't know if it's produced at that Bellmead plantation or if that's,
are they affiliated?
Like its namesake. Or? I think that the parent company is,
because so I know they have a winery.
I'm pretty sure
Bellmead has a winery there.
Oh, yeah?
On the plantation.
Well,
yeah,
maybe
I've been to that before.
Maybe they use old,
but I don't remember seeing like a distillery. But that doesn't mean any. That doesn't mean it wasn't there. The place is huge. So
this is weird because like they have a parent company that I guess is owned out of Kentucky that makes a lot of whiskeys this particular brand, this branch of that parent company, Belmead, is made in Tennessee. So
I'm pretty sure they're probably sure affiliated made, with the plantation then.
That makes
more than
sense.
Likely.
Yeah. So, cool. You know, if you want to know more, including things that I don't know, please check out our show notes. The website is in the links and you can learn all about it. I'm sorry, I'm a bad podcast host and don't know anything about how much, other than how good it tastes.
Oh, wow.
God damn.
Okay.
Hey, Sarah.
So
what are you
drinking?
Don't laugh at me.
I'm still drinking out of my winter beer packs.
Bitches get stitches.
That I bought.
Just kidding. I love you.
Okay. Let's start over.
Did you see the,
oh, God. This is like podcasting with a toddler. What the fuck?
So, all right. Can I go ADD for 2 seconds? Because I know we're on a time crunch.
Oh, yeah. Just go ahead. Yeah. Keep going. It's fine.
All right. So, I have been reading this fucking book, Fire and Fury, inside Trump's White House for the past couple of days. It just came out a few days ago. It got released early because Trump lost his shit when he read an excerpt and yada, yada, yada. Yep. Whatever. I've been reading it. And I think I've lost some brain cells because of it. So here we are.
Yeah.
Not that I had many to lose. I think that it might have made me drink a little more because, oh my God, this dude is...
But do you believe
unilaterally in charge of nuclear war in the country?
But do you believe all of what you're reading?
No.
I mean, come
so
on.
So, that's an excellent question. Michael
come
Wolf
on now. Michael
is,
Wolf,
yes.
I'll let you
now,
go.
I'm a big old liberal, like MSNBC all day. Fine. I'll deal with that. But Michael Wolf is a... is a less than reputable source.
Yeah,
as far
that's putting
as
it very, very diplomatically. very diplomatically.
The weird thing is, I think his worst crime with this book is he has taken quotes and things where people may or may not have thought they were off record and put them in the book.
They were off record.
Which...
Nobody's going to say the things that he's saying that they're saying. Knowing that,
that
they're being...
That is a huge...
That they're going to be
journalism.
Published.
No. And that...
Exactly.
And that threatens, you know, news reporting going
these
forward
were people
and
that
yada,
were,
yada, yada.
These were people
like,
that he was interacting
cool.
with that were supposed to be his quote-unquote friends.
Right.
Or they were at least friendly enough...
Right.
For these people to have let their guard down in front right. of him. These were conversations and things that happened, like, over... drinks or
right.
in social settings, places where things are going to be said.
The terrifying thing is I haven't heard anyone come out and say, I never said that. That's not my quote.
No, they're not saying
like,
that they never said
I mean,
it. But that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean it's okay for him to publish it.
Exactly.
Especially by journalistic standards and in the long view of history, you know, people being able to trust journalists to keep their secrets. That's not cool at all. But in the short view, what the hell is going on in the West Wing? And that's what this book details, and it's terrifying. So anyway, if I am more illiterate or, you know, less spoken than otherwise, I blame it on Trump. I don't care.
Well, it's everything's his fault anyway.
And, yeah. And, you know, if it's not his fault... Who's could it be? Not mine, right?
Not yours, of course not.
Oh my God.
So
all right,
anyway,
I'm so sorry.
So I'm still drinking
yes.
out of my winter packs.
You're like six pack or whatever, right?
It comes in a 24 pack.
Okay. Or three
yeah.
times larger. I was impressed for a minute. I'm like, damn, she's got some of the holiday pack left.
But that was cute. Yeah, I bought several. So this beer is coming from Leinenkugel again. It's
Woo.
It's the red lager. It's
red for communism.
No, red for Christmas time.
Okay.
It has a pretty label on it, a pretty red and gold label. It's good. It's really malty, and I don't really like a super malty beer.
Huh.
And it has kind of a bitter like aftertaste that kind of sits on your tongue for a minute.
Kind of like a whiskey or something, or like
similar,
but without the effect.
it's similar to that, but
cool.
It's okay. This beer I usually wait. I don't really drink. These are not the first beers that I go to out of the pack. These are just like the leftover ones. Yeah.
So you get like, it's, you know, like three or four of each one or whatever.
Yeah, you get about three of each or four of each one. This one, like I said, is usually the last one to go.
Gotcha.
So it's okay. If you like a port or like a really dark beer, you would really, really like this beer. If you like a more hoppy beer, you would probably like this beer. It's like a...
Like a port as in a red wine?
A port as in a beer. Yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah, what you're talking about. I know. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. So...
One day, it's like Sarah a dark, will teach me about
beer. It's an amber-colored beer, too. So it's not quite a dark beer, but it's more of like an amber-colored beer.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Beautiful. Now, I will say... Just real quick, that Sarah did about four episodes ago introduce me to a very nice beer that I enjoyed as a non-beer lover that tasted like pretty much apple juice. I don't remember what it was, but look back on her show notes and you'll see that.
Oh yeah,
but
that was the India pressed apple cider.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So she has broadened my horizons a bit. So, thank you so much for that. I'm glad I'm getting something out of doing this for free. Oh, by the way, if you want
no one's paying us.
If you want to sponsor our show, you can contact us at compmypod.com. I'm just kidding. No, we do enjoy doing this.
It's never going to happen.
Which rolls us into our first Reddit story. Mine is from Tales from the Front Desk. It's called Ever Miss a Coworker? ? And I picked this because it made me look into the future and miss the point when, or think about the point when I would miss Sarah going forward. So, you know, it's not necessarily hospitality related, but I think anyone out there probably has that solid, you know, dependable coworker that you work with that you know is going to not screw things up.
Yeah.
And I think that regardless of what industry you're in, that you can, you know, maybe take this with a grain of salt and reflect on who that person is and maybe, you know, buy them a candy bar or, you know, a soda or a flower or something, and, you know,
or a
card or something, you know, and just be like, hey, I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do, even if you're not their supervisor or something like that, because that means a lot to people. So anyway, this story really kind of touched home. So after all that feel good stuff, it's by user Angry Security Guard. Sorry, but I do want to credit them.
That's awesome.
So it goes.
Oh God, that's hilarious.
I didn't notice that the first time.
Damn it! It's great.
Let me pick something else. No, I'm just kidding. Alrighty. So I had this thought today when browsing this subreddit. We front desk workers put up with a lot of crap, not just from guests, but also from coworkers. For every good coworker, there's probably 20 you just can't stand.
I have this
coworker who's moving out of town soon. No. Tonight is his last night, and man, I'm going to miss this dude. He does all his paperwork perfectly and on time. He's great with guests. And follows every protocol in the book. Always has his radio on him and always answers it when he's called.
Always answers it.
And is a generally nice guy to work with. He never gossips or walks over people or gives attitude. I don't think of him as a friend, but man, I'm going to miss this guy and having someone next to me at work that knows what he's doing.
Knows what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. And I know he has my back. Do any of you guys miss any coworkers based off their work ethic, or am I just weird? That's the post. But I think this leads to a bigger question of, sometimes you don't know how good you got it till you're gone, till they're gone.
Exactly. Or when you leave. Yeah. Sometimes the grass isn't always greener. Yeah. That's absolutely. So true. Yeah, like, I think we've all been in that situation before. I can name several people. I was just thinking back in my mind right now over, you know, mm-hmm. over time over of just centuries. Of me working. Well, yeah, yeah, over just time, of, you know, of you just having jobs and just working,
mm-hmm.
you know, as an adult, not as like a teenager when there you don't give a shit, so but as many. Like an adult, you know, you start thinking back on it and you're like, yeah, I mean, there's been several people that I can think of right now that like either I left and I went to another job and it sucked compared to working, you know, with the other people that I was with before, or the other people left and you get stuck with like these new idiot people and you're like, oh man,
yeah,
this is terrible.
I mean, there's so many people that like this post made me think of, like, you.
Me
that,
too.
And,
yeah,
and not that I didn't think of them when I left or that kind of thing, but
yeah,
you know, it really makes you appreciate just somebody that, you know, comes in and does what they're supposed to do and leaves and doesn't cause any additional trouble. Bullshit in your life, mm-hmm. in your work life. You know, it's like, what else can you ask for? Like, that's what they're paid to do, you know? So,
yeah, I don't know why it's such a hard concept for people to figure out. I don't know why people can just come to work, clock in,
here
do
we
your
are,
fucking job, and not worry about anything else.
And here we are, it's a whole post about it. But... I love
because
it.
Because that's why, though, because it is, like, it's such a rare find now.
Especially
when you can
in
find
the service
somebody
industry.
Like that. Oh,
I mean, like, I love it. And kudos to, sorry, Angry Security Guard, get a better name. And super
I like his name.
Super kudos to the person that he's posting about. I think that's very, very sweet. He or she, sorry. And I think that.
I think he said it was a he. I think, because he kept saying, I'm going to miss this
person,
dude and
the
all
person's
that.
A he. I don't know if the security guard is. Okay. But, yeah, I think, you know, kudos to you for posting about it. And I think that that's very adorable. So, Sarah, what's your first Reddit pick?
So, my first Reddit story comes from Tales from the Front Desk.
Fun.
And it's, now I'm buying pepper spray.
Ugh.
And it comes from...
It's good on mashed potatoes.
Anime Pillow Wife.
Anime Pillow Wife, yeah.
Yeah!
I saw this in the show
notes.
I was very disturbed by this username in the show notes when I saw it. I'm like, oh my god. What are we. This is like some sex doll.
So,
fanatic.
This is
but
like
thank
really.
Thank you for your post.
This is really long. So, this, it starts off with, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of go through like the.
But you if
know,
you want to read
the
whole thing, it's in our show notes.
Yeah. So, this starts off with, this isn't the most interesting story. I'm just mildly annoyed, dumbfounded, and decently creeped out and need to vent a bit. Last Friday, about 9 p.m. on my shift, dude comes in reeking of alcohol. I wouldn't have sold him a room if he was super drunk and not coherent, but he seemed okay. His card went through only one night, so why not? Only thing was, he would trip up some of his words or react a bit slow. At one point during the check-in process, he says, I'm not autistic, I swear.
God.
I just got problems.
I almost said, this sounds like me when you said trip up words, but... I'm going to back off that.
I'm like...
Oh, but I said it.
That is just the weirdest thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell him, it's no big deal. Here's your key cards. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
God.
Walk away.
Yeah, please go away. Let's see. I do a morning shift the next day, which is when this dude should be checking out. At around 9 a.m., a policeman walks up to my desk and says...
9 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He needs access to a room. Of course, it was the guy who smelled like alcohol. It was a wellness check. His parents were worried. The guy's an alcoholic. Okay, great. Here's his room. Whatever.
Mm.
5 minutes later, the officer came back and said the guy's okay. He just wasn't very friendly. Once the police leave, the alcoholic guy wanders into the lobby, obviously looking for police, kind of just weirdly and suspiciously wandering around. after he walks down the street to the liquor store, visible from the lobby, God. And returns with what is likely alcohol. At around 11:30, I get a call from housekeeping.
Is this me?
Asking if the alcoholic guy was a stayover because he was in the room with his shit everywhere. Not packing, either. 30 minutes after checkout time. So, I call the room. They keep calling the room. I call the front desk. I call the front desk guy at our second property next door and ask if he'll go with me to tell the guy he needs to check out or pay for another night. Blah, blah, blah. So, let's see. It looks like he basically doesn't leave.
Oh, my God.
So, it was quiet until 2. Alcohol guy wanders into the breakfast area and says, "Where's breakfast?" Yeah, breakfast ended at fucking 9. Oh, my God. So he stares at me.
Is it like what? Like 2 or 3 or something?
Yeah. Then he just stared at me and walked back to his room. Like, doesn't even say anything. Just stares at this person, yeah, and walks back to his room. Later, he comes back to the desk, wanted pizza delivered.
Why would you come to the front
going,
desk for that?
Yeah, it just keeps going and going and, open, and going.
Open the Pizza Hut app on your phone.
Yeah, like, walk what away. The fuck, dude?
Ugh.
So, let's see.
God.
I'm trying to find the other part. Okay, so here's the part about, I think, okay.
Oh,
housekeeping
wait.
Asked again if he was a stayover or a checkout, but I told them he's no service. He's drunk, kind of odd. All of housekeeping that day was a girl, were females.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So if he needs anything, he can get it from the lobby. So they said no one can go to his room, which was good.
Fuck
they
that.
Said
yeah,
nobody
that is
goes,
good.
Goes to his room. Let's see. Once, I don't know what that means. Once 3 came around. Once 3 o'clock. Okay, I see it now. Once 3 o'clock came around, I filled in my manager, who was next shift, on the situation and left. Didn't think about this guy till Sunday when my manager updated me on it. Apparently, after I left, the guy came back to the lobby, and I will give you all a quick condensed dialogue between the two. So, M is the manager, and A is alcoholic guy. A, hey, where's that girl from this morning? M, her shift is over. She left. A, stands in silence for a bit. Well, can I have her number? M,
oh my God.
Excuse me? A, I want her number. M, that's private information. Insert A asking for my number again. A, well, ugh, where does she live?
What?
Yeah, this is crazy.
Fuck you.
M, are you serious? I'm not going to give out my employee's personal information. Go back to your room, do not bother me, and I'll forget this conversation ever happened.
Right.
And then come the day he was supposed to check out. He didn't leave until almost 12, I guess their checkout times earlier, and gave front desk a hard time because he wasn't allowed to extend. So what does he do? Go to our next door property and check in there. Why didn't they call them and tell them not to check this guy in?
If it's where a sister staying, property or something,
where he's
yeah.
staying multiple days. So he's checked in there multiple days.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, kind of lame story, but last night I put in an order for pepper spray and a pocket knife. So hilarious.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah. Like, and then they're what annoys me the most is how much I have to deal with this shit. I look my age. This person's really young. They're only 18 and obviously female. And I still have 50-year-old men plus say inappropriate things to me. I can't even wear lipstick or extra makeup
ridiculous.
Because I get really fucking creepy comments from men. But whatever. I've reached the point where I'm not going to tolerate it or be nice anymore.
Well,
yeah.
It's one thing if they're, like, a nice older gentleman and, you know, they want to just, you know, tell you how pretty you are or whatever. I'm honestly thinking about, like, myself as an elderly person telling some 18-year-old that they're cute. But it is
don't do that.
Creepy.
It's creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah, I know. The weird thing is, like, it was fine when I was, like, 20. But the older I get, like in my 30s now, it gets creepier. I don't get it.
Yeah. Don't tell 18-year-old girls that they're pretty.
No, well, I wouldn't do
when
that.
When you're 50.
Fuck them. I don't care. But.
You told me I'm pretty.
But like an 18-year-old guy working at the front desk. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
Kidding. No, I get it. Like, I don't think that's okay at all. I mean, I watched the Golden Globes and everybody wore black and all that. I get the message.
It's just going back to the same conversation that we've had on here before. That,
I get it. It's not cool.
It's an industry-wide problem, and it's never going to change.
Feel uncomfortable.
And
yes.
I mean, basically what it is, like, if you're a female, a young, attractive, pretty female in this industry, you need to uglify yourself. You need to make yourself not look as pretty as you normally do outside of work. So you need to, like, not really fix your hair or kind of fix it. You need to pretty much wear it the same all the time. Don't do anything different. Yeah. Don't deviate from that. Because if you do something different, that's going to draw attention to yourself. So pretty much always look the same. Don't wear any makeup at all, or if you do wear makeup, very, very minimal makeup. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking about, like, just, like, maybe cover up your dark circles, and that's it, makeup. Maybe some lip gloss.
See, and that's,
just because your lips are chapped.
Still, like, such a, that's still
don't
such a
do
poor,
anything to draw attention to yourself.
That's still such a poor, like, standard. Like, I mean, I feel so bad for women that they even have to wear
but
makeup
that's what
at
you,
all.
But that's what you have to
and,
do.
You know, and back to the whole gay point, like, you know, some 18-year-old, you know, guy or 19-year-old guy working the front desk, you know, if they get hit on or commented on by, like, you know, some older, like, guy in their 30s or 40s or whatever, which, oh my God, makes me sound so creepy right now, you know, they kind of roll with it. For the most part. And, you know, if they don't like it, they don't like it. But, I mean, they don't have to, like, wear makeup, period. They don't have to put on airs or any of that bullshit. They don't have to prevent anything. And it sounds so bad, but at the end of the day, they, if it's not somebody like me that I'm not gonna, in any means, physically or, you know, verbally assault myself on someone.
Exactly.
But
right.
If some old fuck in, you know, their, you know, 60s or 70s or whatever, you know, wants to have one last thrill and gets crazy or is drunk in any age, then, you know, that, you know, 18, 20-year-old-ish male can knock the shit out of them, can resist them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, I'm not saying this is sexist, but biologically, women don't always have that option. So, yeah, sure. Buy some goddamn pepper spray. Buy a stun gun. I don't care. I mean, fuck, I'm surprised that more employers don't allow a very strict standard for being able to carry a concealed weapon, honestly.
Oh, they do. They do have a strict policy on it, and it's that you cannot.
Yeah, well, yes. I know.
That's
yeah,
the policy.
But I'm saying, like,
you can't have anything like
the thing is,
your person.
I'm seeing a lot of states have, you know, with this country, which is wonderful, but a lot of states have a pretty lax policy on what it takes to get a concealed carry handgun, and a lot of employers, as private businesses, rightfully and constitutionally override that and say, no, you can't carry it at our place of business.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. But if you were able to go, you know, or undergo XYZ and take these classes or get this certification, then you would be able to, you know, have that, you know, weapon on you, whatever it is. I think that's important. I think that's something.
Well,
you know,
I think
to
it's
look
it depends
forward
on what industry you work in too, and what time of day and night that you're working.
Yeah,
I mean too. You don't expect to have somebody that's working in an office building during the day packing guns everywhere. I mean that's just ridiculous. Because especially like in banks already have security guards and things like that. So in most like big like high rise buildings that you work in like a downtown metropolitan area, they have security. You're not going to be there overnight. There just isn't any reason for certain industries to be allowing their employees to carry weapons, you know, inside the building. I mean, that's kind of a ridiculous notion, in my opinion. I mean, I'm all for guns. I love guns. I own guns. I have guns.
Yeah,
I shoot guns.
Me too.
But I think that you need
it's
to just be...
It's one of the few conservative things we agree on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but you need to have some common sense about
back,
it. And
back
I don't,
last episode about politics.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect to be, like, you know, walking into, like, random places and just everybody be, you know, armed. I mean, that's a little ridiculous, you know, to even think. But, I mean, yeah, when people
it's like Mad Max.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, let's not go back to, you know, the 1800s and the Wild Wild West here. I mean, that's just a little, you know. I don't want to live in that type of society, but... You know, but if you work overnight, mm-hmm. you know, and you work in this type of environment and you're alone, I think that, yeah, that policies should fit the individual and mm-hmm. what's actually going on. And they don't fit the individual. They don't fit what's going on. You're pretty much told, I can name personally from personal experience, several occasions where I was told, when I brought anything to a manager's attention about being harassed or being, you know, inappropriate comments said to me or whatever by a guest. And mm-hmm. I was just told, well, this is the job. If you don't like it, you can really? Quit. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck that. No.
Every
that's
single time.
That's when you call HR.
Every single time.
Fuck that.
Every single time.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, every single time. I've never gone
especially
to a manager.
If you have it documented.
I've never gone to a manager about any type of harassment from a guest anyway. Yeah. And it actually be dealt with and addressed ever. So
wow.
What that taught me was that there's no point in even going to them. So I just never did anymore.
No.
I just stopped because it doesn't matter. And if you notice all this stuff coming out in Hollywood, the women are saying the same exact thing that I'm saying in my industry.
Yeah.
That, well, I did tell people, but nobody cared. And I was told this is just the way that it is. So I stopped saying anything.
No.
So you have to do as a female.
Including that conversation. Like,
But it doesn't matter. That's what I'm trying to explain
to
you.
Like,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Call in.
It doesn't matter.
There's always a corporate HR number.
Not necessarily. It depends on what type of hotel that you work in.
It's true.
If you work in a corporate hotel,
yeah.
If you don't work in a corporate hotel, there isn't
like
anything that you can
like
do.
Like a
mom and pop hotel or a smaller franchise.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. And then even if you do, let's say, for example, you do work in a huge corporate hotel. And you are like, well, I don't like the answer that I got from you, so I'm going to go over your head and I'm going to call HR. You know what happens? You're mm-hmm. going to get fired. It's going to happen to you, and there's not going to be anything
you
can do. Oh, absolutely.
That's
because
like
100% HR,
cause for, like,
no,
a lawsuit.
It's not, because what happens
I've
is
used those
HR
lines, like once
HR
in my life,
immediately
I've used it.
HR immediately calls your GM and tells them exactly everything that you said. So now you're in a situation.
It depends on the business, but yeah, okay.
That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately contact your GM, and now everybody's going to know. Everybody knows, and now you've got a target on your back. Now you've got a target on your back, and they will get rid of you. It will happen. Because guaranteed, you've done some shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has. Either you're late. There's something they can get you on. Everybody has something that they can get you.
They've always got something in their back pocket.
They've always got something in their back pocket. They will get rid of you. It's just a matter of time. And it'll be a legit reason.
Yeah.
It will have nothing to do with your complaint.
That's a shame. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. That's just the way that it is. So all of these people that say that, oh, we'll just go to HR. HR is not a solution. HR does not have your back. HR
maybe.
Has the hotel's back and the manager's back, not yours.
Maybe. It really depends on the industry and how ethical the particular HR department is. I mean, I'm thinking about my HR department with my new company.
Oh, your new look, you cannot even compare that. Okay, just stop right
now. No, okay.
I'm done. Stop right there.
Okay, wait.
Because
I won't even talk about them.
Every other company in the universe is still stuck back in the 1950s Mad Men bullshit, where your company...
I like Mad Men.
Where your company is, like, super progressive and super cutting edge and does not treat their employees like shit.
Well, okay.
So, your company
forget about them.
Should not even factor into this conversation.
Sorry.
It's not a fair comparison. It's just not.
All right. So, my previous company, which was retail and which was with a company that was founded, I don't know, back in the 60s or some bullshit.
Yeah, Mad Men era.
Like,
they're literally Mad Men.
They
help write the
show. So, one of the frustrations with management, which I was a part of was they would always take the associate side very often. Like, it didn't matter to avoid
lawsuits. Yeah.
But the good thing was they really did take, you know, your input into consideration, which I know is like, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but like they, so say when someone left after working at the company for many years, they reached out and they were like, you know, why are you leaving? What's happening? You know, why would you leave now? Did you just get a better offer, or is there something going on, or whatever? And they really tried to get down to the bottom of it. And they would do, you know, exit interviews, and they would follow up with people that employees worked with, you know, in their particular location. And they would try to correct the situation to prevent it moving forward. So I think there are two sides of the coin there.
There's always two sides to every story.
I think you're definitely right in the fact that a lot of times those types of stories go, you know, unanswered, you know, kind of like, you know, sexual harassment stories or something like that.
They absolutely get shoved under the rug.
Especially in the nature of our industry, that
they consider, you know, it customer service, that this is just part of what you have to deal with if you work here.
These are the comments you have to deal with. Yeah.
That's what they say. And that's what you're taught.
If the employee is often the only one to witness it or have it, you know, experienced, then, you know, they feel like their hands are tied behind their back. So
your hands are tied behind your back, because generally, too, the men that partake in these types of things, they work for a corporation. They work for a huge corporation. They have an account with the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They're the hotel's pet.
It's like some kind of GMs. Business account. They're the BMs.
They're the GMs. You know, backslapping buddy. You know, they're friends, quote unquote. You know, the GM's not going to do anything about it because they bring in all the money. The GM does not give a shit about you. You're fodder. You're there for their entertainment and enjoyment, basically, and that's exactly what you're going to be told if you bring it up. So, bottom line, it comes down to, like, having a really good management staff that's just not going to tolerate bullshit. And that's a very rare thing in the hotel industry. So.
That's the trick in a lot of these situations.
Yes.
Alrighty, so let's start circling for a landing here. I'll do my last Reddit story, and then we'll do our picks of the week. my last Reddit story is from Tales from the Front Desk. This one is actually really fun because it's from a guest, not from a hotel worker.
Oh, cool.
But they posted to Tales from the Front Desk. And it's titled, "I Hate When My Friends Freak Out About Not Going to the Front Desk to Check Out." I picked this for you, Sarah. You're welcome. It's by user PalmTrees007. And it goes, "I never do. I will either call or I'll just leave."
Thank you, Palm Tree. What?
Yes. Yeah, 007. Like James Bond. Yeah.
Thank you.
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you. You're my favorite person in the fucking world.
Don't check out.
Bye.
Yes. I don't care.
Why do you need somebody to tell you bye?
So it goes on. Why? It goes on to say, oh, you'll love what's coming up then. Your head's probably going to explode. Alrighty. So the guest goes on to say, "What's easier on your end? I just want to make your job easier." Smiley face emoji. "I hate when my friends see me whiz by the front desk to the lobby doors and order a lift and ask me in worry, 'You aren't checking out?'" Gasp. It says gasp.
So great.
So,
gasp.
"I'm not. The line is massive. What's the point?"
Yeah.
"I had..."
They've already got my credit card.
Here's the best part. "I had an OCD / sheltered coworker who came on a work trip with us, and I've been traveling since I was 19, but she's 31, like me, and still does everything with mom and dad.
Oh my God.
I told her, I'm sorry, I'm trying to like get through this.
Here we go.
I'm trying to get through this without laughing.
Here we go.
I told her it's not necessary to check out in person, but her OCD tendencies don't let her accept things. She still waited in line and wasted time with like lots of you know, dots after that. Dot, 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 dot. Anyway, alrighty, so the poster says, sorry, dumb rant, but it really irks me, laugh out loud.
Me too. It irks and me then, too.
So the poster got some advice from the comments, which is what Reddit is great for, and they actually updated it, which is nice. They said, update, thank you for the advice. Now I know not being a bother stopping. Blah, sorry. Now I know I'm not being a bother stopping by with the geese. I just have
people are telling him to go to the desk.
I don't want to give any more work. Good to know. Oh my God! No, this okay. So this update was not there the first time I picked this.
To go to the desk.
I guess. What the fuck is
Reddit
wrong with
does
these
this? They do this shit. I know. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now on here.
Sorry. I didn't read that ahead
every
of time.
Every single time.
Listen.
Every single time I post on here about this, there's like a billion fucking comments after mine, like reaming me out about it.
Fuck that. Don't check out.
Check out
on the app if you really love it.
Do not.
Or just
come
walk the fuck out. Nobody cares.
Desk.
Go away.
So now they've retrained this guy to come to the desk.
Yeah, they have.
Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Thanks
like,
a lot.
I really
Thanks
thought this would
lot.
Be like a great post for Sarah. It did not work out that way.
Don't worry.
Because
I'll get on there and
actually,
fix this
not
shit.
Just Sarah. Both of us hate people checking out at the desk. Like, it's
don't
not necessary.
Do it.
Just leave. Just leave.
Yeah, just leave. That's unbelievable to me. Of course they did. Of course they did.
Oh, my God.
Of course
I'm so
from
sorry.
The front
like,
desk
that,
told him to check out at the desk.
That literally happened in the past, like, couple of hours.
That's
since I
what
picked
happens,
the,
yeah.
Since I picked the story.
That's
oh
what I told
God.
Him every single time I post about this on there. Yeah, there's like a billion of them that like, yeah, that like jump on me about it. I like when people come to the desk to check out.
Fuck
la,
you.
La, 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 la. I have
you
all
know
of them on me about it.
You know what? I bet they're housekeepers too. I bet they do
and
double
like,
shifts or something. Yeah,
why?
No. Get the fuck out. You know what? Like, and it's.
Yeah,
okay.
Bye.
Let me back up. It sounds so weird to guess, listening out there, to say, we don't care if you check out or not. I get it. But most people check out, like, that want to check out at, like, you know, first thing in the morning, which is usually around shift change, and it's usually around the time where the front desk agent is the busiest.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want your stupid used keys back. You can leave them in the room and walk out. We don't need to know that you're gone. We're not going to charge
we
you
We know
for,
that you've left.
We're not
going to
charge you for an extra night because you didn't check out or
we
whatever
We don't charge
bullshit.
You for keys.
That,
I've actually had
that
people on
never
here
happens.
Tell me. Listen, I've actually
charge you for
had,
keys?
Yes. I had one guy on
it's
here that jumped
shit.
All over me about that and was like, what are you going to do? Chase me down? And how am I going to know that I'm not going to get charged for the keys if I don't turn them in? And I'm like, you're in
chase down.
You're nuts.
Yeah.
Just
mm-hmm.
shut up. Shut
yeah.
up and go away.
We'll send the SWAT.
I don't
out
even want
you
coming to the desk. Why the fuck would I chase you down?
Exactly.
Like, go the fuck away. Like, seriously.
But it's also
it's very
it
bizarre.
Also
it's
ridiculous.
Very bizarre that people think this that they have to come to the desk to check out.
Alrighty. So, sorry to go off on a tangent there. So we have a few minutes left. Let's roll through our picks of the week. Do you want to do yours first, or do you want me to? I can't remember.
I think I'm gonna go first.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Mine's very superficial.
So...
I'm jealous of yours.
Or was I gonna go first? Or I was gonna go last.
I think so.
Yeah, you go first.
I think so. Okay. Alright, so, mine... It doesn't matter. It's all bullshit. And let me remind our listeners again, you're not paying us. But if you'd like to, we could certainly set up like some kind of PayPal account on our site or something. CopMyPod.com. Anyway, so my pick of the week actually is very relevant to my personal life recently. It's Archer. Available on Netflix. Yes. I love it. It's super funny, super fun cartoon. But the greatest thing about it is you can, it's one of those kind of shows that you can listen to and you don't have to necessarily watch. So if you have, you know, Bluetooth headphones or if you have some kind of connection where you can watch it, you know, without, or I'm sorry, if you can listen to it without watching it, it works great. No matter what your job is, I've listened to it, you know, like at the desk, at the front desk, just, you know, to pass the time, just recently actually. And it really does a good job at keeping you awake, keeping you stimulated. It's really smart. It's very intellectual and, it's really a fun show just in general, but this show is...
It's funny.
It's very... Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very... nonplussed, I guess, would be the word. It's very... It doesn't fit the mold, put it that way.
No, it's very irreverent.
It's irreverent. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. It is very irreverent.
And kind of like us.
Yes. Absolutely. And Archer, if you don't know, you know, check out on FX. I'm sure you can watch a trailer or something, but it doesn't matter. Even if you don't like spy shows and all that bullshit, it's still good if you just like a good comedy. So check that out. That will be in our show notes. Sarah, what is your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week is Darkest Hour. It's a new movie that's out right now. It's about Winston Churchill.
Yes.
And it's during the early days of World War II where he basically just... It's right after... oh, shit. What's the prime minister before him?
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain. Yeah. It's right after Chamberlain leaves and Churchill
assumes power.
He doesn't get elected by the people. He just gets put in there.
England's weird with their prime minister electorship or whatever.
Yeah, they're supposed to be elected, but they don't have to be if they leave during their terms, which seems to be what happens quite often with them.
We don't get it in America, but yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, that's what happens. Nobody wanted him to be the prime minister.
It worked out quite well.
He saved their ass.
70 years later,
he definitely saved their ass because they were all wimps and they wanted to negotiate with Hitler. Hello? Are you insane?
I mean, which is easy to say.
You can't negotiate with an insane person.
That's easy to say now. And my God, please don't put me on the side of Hitler. Jesus.
Well, no.
But, I mean, Hitler had taken over basically all of Europe.
All of
Britain.
Western Europe.
Was the last Western power standing.
That was it.
And, you know, for them, you know, including France, they fell.
Yep.
And, you know, if...
And he tried to tell France, we need to, like, come together.
Yeah,
you know,
that,
like, we need to
work.
Come together.
Yeah.
Yep, and it
yeah,
didn't
no,
work.
This was such a brilliant movie. And, and, you know, story in general. And for Britain to be able to stand strong through that pressure, not knowing at that point that the U.S. would be able to enter the war and turn the tides, which is really what happened.
Which is exactly what happened.
I'm not, like, being... you know, patriotic or anything, but that's really the power that turned the tide in the...
Yeah, that's what happened. Yep. I totally agree.
So, I mean, it was an interesting movie.
I loved it. I want to talk about Gary Oldman, too. I mean,
Oh my gosh.
Was like... Gary Oldman, can we just talk about him for just a second? Yes. I mean, how iconic he is.
I heard, so,
I mean, just he not, is just, if, even if, even I mean, if you're not.
This is Commissioner Gordon from Dark Knight,
I'm
right?
just going to say that even if you're right? not even, he's been in everything. If you're yeah. not even, like, a fan of necessarily, like, war movies or political intrigue type of movies, go and watch this just to watch Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
I mean, just give this guy everything. He needs, like, all the Oscars, like, even Best Actress. Just give this guy all the awards. Agree. He needs all the awards. The way he transforms
his body and his mannerisms and everything.
And this is what he does. Like, if you watch Gary, if you watch Gary Oldman.
It's like Daniel Day-Lewis-esque. Yeah.
If you watch Gary Oldman in anything, like, he's willing to do, he'll do any role, any part. And he literally, it's not just the makeup, like you're talking about. Like, he literally just does something with his face and with his whole entire body where he just literally, like, becomes these people and these characters, and it's just, it's amazing to watch. I mean, it was, I was just sitting there the whole, I was just sitting there the whole time, like, I can't, Gary Oldman is just, man, he's just amazing. And then he's like, he's very, we don't really know a lot about him either. It's so awesome because he's been around for forever. I mean, he's been in movies, you know, for decades.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best kind of actor.
And he stays out of the spotlight. And he stays out of the spotlight. I mean, I don't even know if he has kids. I don't know if he's married. I know nothing about the guy. I mean, it's great. You know, like, he's never...
Yeah.
He just acts. You know, like, he just does what he does and then goes home, I guess. Awesome. I mean, we don't know what goes on with him, which is great because he's just... He is literally these characters because you don't know anything about his, like, personal life. So you... Whenever you're watching him on screen, it's just like, oh...
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what I like about him, too, is you have all these other actors and actresses where they get these roles and they get these parts, and you're so hung up on, like, other parts and other roles that they've played.
Or they overplay it, their current roles. Yeah.
Well, it's just like Ben Affleck. It's like Ben Affleck.
This is a very subtle, like, Winston Churchill.
It's like Ben Affleck playing Batman. Nobody wanted it. Nobody could stand it. Everybody hated it. Everybody still hates it. I guess he's still going to be playing the part. I don't even know. But that's a whole other conversation for another podcast. But with Gary Oldman, I mean, what if Gary Oldman played Batman? Like, everybody would be totally fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's literally like no matter what part or part he plays or gets.
Put those cat eyes around his face and, like, put that mask on him. It's fine.
It's
whatever.
It's fine. Yeah. Nobody, it's never controversial. Nobody ever says anything like, oh, Gary Oldman can't play that role. No, he can literally play any role ever, especially after watching this. I mean, damn. I was blown away by his performance.
Very few people on the planet that can pull that off. I mean, that's an amazing
thing. It was incredible.
It was good. And the fact that he didn't slip, and it might be good editing or whatever, but the fact that he didn't slip throughout the whole movie, like, it was so believable. Give him all the Oscars.
All of them. That's what I said. Yeah. Just throw them all at him. Yeah. They're all his. He won everything. So, yeah, that's my pick of the week. It's probably not going to be at the theater for long. So, if you want to see it, if you're a Churchill fan, now's your chance. It's probably going to be gone next week, I would think. So, you probably have, you know, maybe a couple days next week to see it. And then that's going to be it. Definitely through the weekend. But
cool.
Yep.
So, for one last quick note on based on that, things not being in the theater... Be sure, if you are in a major metro right now, to go see Call Me By Your Name. It's this amazing independent movie that got tons of acclaim in Sundance and all kinds of other festivals. But it's a big old gay movie about this younger guy that falls in love with the older guy, yada, yada, yada. But it has got all kinds of accolades. I have not seen it yet. It opens in our particular city in a wider release on the 19th of January, so it's literally, like, on my Google Calendar. It opens in a lot of cities on the 19th, so I am sorely looking forward to that, but definitely check it out. And if not, if you don't have that yet, definitely go see Darkest Hour. Or, you know, just stream Archer on your smartphone. And,
whatever you want to do.
You know, get through your shift. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah, whatever you got to do. It is what it is. Yep.
Alrighty, folks. So, until next week, please be sure to check out CompMyPod.com. What the fuck did I just say? CompMyPod.com. Thank you. Sponsored by Bell Mead Bourbon. Not really. And you can also check us out at CompMyPod on Twitter and Instagram. Please feel free to reach out with any comments or feedback, as long as they're positive.
We and don't Facebook. Care.
And Facebook at
Caught My Pod.
What is that word site? Yeah,
it'll come up.
Yeah, it'll pop up. Anyway, alrighty, thank you, folks. Hope you have a fantastic week.
We'll see you next week.
Hospitality. Yep. Goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
So much.
Woo-hoo.
Still use that, the Untapped app?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pick from like 3 weeks ago. You haven't thrown it away yet?
Mm-hmm. You don't use your picks?
No, I love my picks.
Well, so do I.
They're usually temporary or they're like instilled in my life. Like password managers that I might pick again.
Oh, here we go with password manager.
That was episode 2 and it's like the most important thing in my life and nobody gets it for some
reason.
Password
manager. You and password manager.
Yep. It works. You know the last time I forgot my password?
You don't
Never.
Know you. Yeah,
Never.
You don't.
Never.
Right.
That's
you don't
when.
Know them because, yeah. I'm like, what?